This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
To me for an answer.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour two, kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines, what do you got for us, baby?
Well, apparently the hunt is over.
Okay. What are we hunting for?
Dog has called off the dogs. Dog the Bounty Hunter says, Brian Laundry, remember the hunt? Remember the manhunt? This guy? Was it Gabby? Remember?
Remember this whole story?
I hasn't really been talked about a whole lot lately.
There are no updates.
No, not much. Well, here's your update. Dog the Bounty Hunter, he's calling it off after remains apparently were found where they thought Brian was at.
Are we sure about this?
No. It sounds like a whole lot of hoopla. To me.
Sounds like a whole lot of hoopla.
Sounds like Dog didn't want to admit he has no idea where this guy's at, so he's just saying he found remains. That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe so. So, yeah, they said they stopped short of confirming that they found, again, the remains. The FBI, I guess the FBI kind of in on this as well. They said that most likely it is him.
When they say remains, do we know what it was? Because it seems... I watch a lot of movies and TV shows and maybe have a sick and demented mind, but, I mean, it seems a little too cut and dry for me. We found remains of a body, not a full body, next to his stuff. Like, that's essentially what it is, right? They said they found remains of his body next to his belongings in the Florida, I don't want to say Everglades, but they said
Florida
around, like...
Florida Nature Park is
right,
what they're saying.
I assume there's alligators there. A Florida Nature Park, to me, screams alligators. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but to me...
Yeah, I would say so.
So, I mean, like, oh, the alligators must have ate the rest of the body. Case closed. This guy's already killed one person. You mean to tell me he wouldn't kill a drifter and, like, leave some body parts around his stuff?
Yeah.
Now, maybe they have the teeth. Maybe they have all that. I don't know. I'm just...
But authorities did stop short of confirming that they belonged to Laundry. See, it just sounds like they don't really know for sure. Yeah. Items were found, including a backpack and a notebook. Apparently.
I mean, that's all stuff I would leave behind that made it look like I was doing that. I mean, it's like leaving, I don't know, like whack somebody, mob stuff, they'll drive their car to the airport, pack stuff from their house, put it in there, make it look like they've just skipped town. It's kind of the same thought. Just throw their body out in the field somewhere.
Sounds like you thought about this.
I just watched one too many scary movies too.
So we're not buying this. You think that Brian is still on the run?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's where my mind went. I'm not going to say for sure.
I was kind of thinking. I'm not really buying it either. The probability is high that the remains are indeed the 23-year-olds. Not for sure. Not for sure, Cody. Code Red. But probability is high at this point. So, dog. Just funny because I see a dog back at it. But either way, so there's your... update. Again, not a lot going on. We haven't really heard much, so we'll see if there's any other confirmation on those remains. Get to some of the injuries for tonight's game. We got a couple guys actually expected to play for the Browns. John, couple of good news. We have Jedrick Willis, their left tackle, expected to play. Jarvis Landry, also expected to play after some question marks there. And OBJ, they're saying he's going to try to give it a go. And we'll kind of see. So he'll be a game time decision. And then, of course, out Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and Baker Mayfield. All three will be out. So kind of an update there for, as you said, that exciting Thursday night classic that we will have tonight between the Browns and the Broncos. Some college news. The NCAA infractions that have been going on for a long time from 2017, including your boy, Will Wade, in the LSU Tigers. Some of those infractions are making notable progress, as Sports Illustrated reported.
Okay. Does it have any details attached to that or no?
Not really. Just kind of that the allegations, stuff like that, could be coming to a close, that they're starting to wrap that up, and that penalties could be handed down pretty soon.
Okay.
So LSU finally might get some sort of penalty, some sort of trouble for all the stuff that we know kind of going on behind the scenes, the phone calls, the legal recruiting, all that. Also, a couple other teams in the mix was NC State, Oklahoma State, and another SEC team, Auburn, as well, from 2017. So
the NCAA has no teeth left. I mean, just
why do these? I just don't understand why these take so long.
I don't know. These investigations, billable hours, like for lawyers. I mean, just the longer
it
takes.
Is that it? I know it's not an easy process. Whatever, interviews, all that probably takes up a lot of time. But it just seems like, man, 4 years. But like I said, should be kind of wrapping those up a little bit, and hopefully we'll have some reports, some penalties handed down to those cheaters, those damn cheaters, John. Will Wade. I hope they come for Will Wade.
It's still mind-blowing to me that he still has a job.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
It's still wild to me that, like, he's just chilling. And not only that, but still recruiting at a high level. Again, he just landed a 5-star not too long ago.
Yep.
Like he's still doing it. And I feel every time I see LSU get a 5-star, I feel just like Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. And the little meme there, it's like, you can't keep getting away with this. That's how I feel about Will Wade.
Well, hopefully when this is all over, they'll crack down on him. It does say
he got the number 15 player in the country a couple weeks ago. I mean, like, out of Missouri, so I mean, I guess it's not too big of a leap to be like, hey, you could get somebody from Missouri to Louisiana, but it ain't like he's in his backyard.
They said there are still additional interviews to be done, so that could alter the timeline. This is specifically about LSU's situation. Still could alter that timeline just a little bit, but they do say the case already has been in discussion, allegations, all that, and talking about football violations and basketball allegations. So going kind of both ways there for LSU. So Oklahoma State, I don't remember. What did Oklahoma State do?
Oklahoma State, I don't even remember.
They had
appealed
a postseason ban.
Oh, that was with their basketball program,
yes.
Right?
Okay, okay. I was thinking football team, but yeah, no, it was the basketball. Talking about that basketball season. So either way, so there's kind of some of the, again, some of those teams in trouble. Hopefully we'll have those official penalties out pretty soon. We had another Colts tough injury. Oof. Julian Blackman out for the season, tearing his Achilles in practice. Practice. Yikes. Not a great break there for the Colts. They've been dealing with, of course, some injuries throughout the whole entire season. Another tough one. And I wanted to talk about this. The 76ers, did you see they had a team dinner? How about it? Celebrating, happy, high-fiving, let's go. The win. And I'm sure you think they may be bad-mouthing Ben Simmons just a little bit. We don't need that. Yeah, we don't need that guy. No. Blowout win over the Pelicans. God, Pelicans looked awful. They're a terrible, terrible team. But, after the whole game, they were able to go out to eat and have a nice little team dinner in effort to clear the air, is what they said, with Ben Simmons being tossed out of practice and then suspended, of course.
So is Ben Simmons playing in their next game, though? Is he playing in game two? He was only suspended one game, right? Like,
he was.
If you're Ben Simmons, is he playing on Friday, ESPN? home against the Nets? Like, you're going to put Ben Simmons in there? Because I think it being a nationally televised game against the Nets, I might just say, nah, stay home, Ben. I don't want the fans booing you on TV. That wouldn't be necessarily the best look for us.
I mean, if it's going to be like that, though, then just
send him home. Yeah, no,
or just don't play him at all. Just don't. If it's going to be like that, well, just not, forget it.
If he's not playing, you can't put him on the bench. You just leave him at home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just what's the point of him playing any of the season if it's going to be like that? If you're going to be like, well, don't come to this game. We're on TV. Come on.
Well, again, I think you just send him home. Maybe the one-game suspension was just so they didn't have to pay him, but now they'll be like, hey, don't come back, and then he'll still get his game check. Maybe that's it. Maybe they'll have to pay him because they can't suspend him more. I don't think they can like keep suspending him if he just quits the behavior.
Right. I don't know. That drama will continue. But, again, Sixers not focused on that, John. Focused on the win. Focused on the team camaraderie. How about it? Gonna want to get to Zach LaVine. Oh, my God. What are we doing? What are we doing here, John? Zach LaVine and the new look, Chicago Bulls.
They took a positive out of last night, barely beating the Pistons.
I mean, just reading this, off to a flying start as Zach LaVine dropping 34 points.
They scored 40 points in the first half.
94-88 win over the Pistons. And
LaVine did look good, though. I will say LaVine went for 34. That was
fine.
Pretty good.
I don't care. He was kind of doing that last year as well. He said, this ain't last year, though. We're looking forward now. It's a whole new team, a whole new mindset, so I'm excited that we grinded that one out. Big win. So, sounds like they're excited after beating the terrible, terrible Detroit Pistons and Pistons team without their top draft pick, Cade Cunningham, as well.
We'll see. I mean, I guess...
Like, we're really going to get overexcited about this, LaVine. I mean, that just shows that they're kind of a bunch of losers, to be honest. Game one... You're not saying, oh, we got a lot to work on. Yeah, we got a lot to improve on. We got to keep working on team chemistry, blah, blah, blah. No. Oh, this ain't last year. We're looking forward. We're coming for this year. It's like, okay, man.
Half the battle is mental. So I guess you could say at least like they've changed their mentality. Like DeRozan comes there and brings some credibility. You may laugh at this, but Alex Caruso brings a championship with him. Like, he has been in around LeBron James, at least has been a part of a culture that was really good. So maybe he brings some leadership in that regard. So maybe it's different in that locker room, and mentally you say stuff like that. Usually guys take the road and just be like, you know, we're going to keep our head down, keep working, get a lot to improve on. But LaVine's like, no, we've made it. Not the same as last year. Now, famous last words. This happened to, like, the Minnesota Timberwolves Twitter account 2 years ago. I don't know if you guys remember that. They tweeted something in response to Kendrick Perkins, I believe, because Kendrick Perkins had said something about how he was sleeping on the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves won, like, the first two games. They tweeted out mocking him and then lost, like, 21 in a row.
Jeez.
So I would say, like, be careful. But good for LaVine. I don't hate the Bulls just yet. Now, maybe they become a rival to the Hawks.
I'm already starting to hate them.
I like DeRozan enough as a player. I like Caruso. I like Lonzo. I like LaVine. We'll see. The thing is, they play New Orleans and Detroit their next two games at home, so they should get out to a 3-0 start. Feel pretty good about themselves.
How about it?
Then they play at Toronto, who looked awful last night.
What the hell's their deal?
They're going full tank.
I looked at their roster. Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't know half the names on this team. So I was like, all right, I guess that does make sense why they're just getting dominated. Excited about your Hawks tonight, though?
Yeah.
Little Luka, Trae Young. People are going to be continuing to
honestly
make
those
comparisons.
I'm past the Luka, Trae Young comparisons.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I don't argue with NBA fans whose team didn't make the conference finals. I definitely don't care about players who haven't won a playoff series. I'm over that. It's me wiping my hands clean of it. I'm over it. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. NFL Week 7 is upon us, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. The new week starts tonight, which means you can take advantage of this promotion. Thursday Night Football, let's face it, it's the perfect time to give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Browns versus Broncos. Let's face it, folks. The only way to make this watchable tonight, Case Keenum versus maybe Teddy Bridgewater. Is Teddy playing? Are we sure Teddy's playing?
He was a game time decision, so I haven't seen anything.
Teddy's a gamer. He'll play. The only way to make this watchable is to do a same game parlay with FanDuel Sportsbook. We love FanDuel Sportsbook. Fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure. It's America's number one sportsbook. So go. Click on the more wagers portion underneath the game. Make sure it says same game parlay bet, and then put your same game parlay in. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get your money back up to 10 bucks. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS and also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the Sunday afternoon matchup between Houston and Arizona. Win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. So they know that we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Thursday night football. It kind of feels like a really big game, which is kind of funny considering how bad these teams are. Or at least how bad of shape they're in. I won't call the Browns a bad team. I'm not sure the Broncos aren't a bad team, but they're in bad shape. We agree with that. When Case Keenum is your starting quarterback, things ain't necessarily going well. Or on the other hand, you look at Case Keenum as one of the better backups in the league, because keep in mind, Case Keenum did take a team to the NFC Championship. He did. It's true. That happened.
He did. I mean, a miracle in the middle of that, but yeah, he did.
Well, even then, he took them to the second round of the playoffs.
I mean, had them as, I mean, they were the one seed, right, that year? I mean, they went 13-3.
No, I believe they were the two seed because they had to go two.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Still, they won 13 games.
Do we look at him still as a good backup, or is he someone that you're looking at as, okay, they're not going to win this game because he's playing along with, you know, their two running backs being out? What do you make of Case Keenum tonight?
I mean, last time we saw Case Keenum, he was pretty terrible, right?
He was. That's why he went from starting
Broncos,
quarterback to backup.
Yeah, the Washington football team.
He
2019, he was 1-7 with the Washington football team. So.
No, he is a backup, but he has shown flashes before that he can at least fill in spot duty with a good roster. We still think this Browns team has a good roster now. How good it is right now, banged up, I don't know.
Get Jarvis Landry out there. Maybe Odell's
going to try.
Yeah, maybe Odell. So, they've been losing these games even with Baker. I know Baker's been banged up, but couldn't we say, like, honestly, when you think about Baker, he's kind of a better version, slightly better version of Case Keenum?
I would say he's not slightly better. I'd say he's much better than Case Keenum. Baker
Mayfield went to a championship game yet, John?
Maybe Case Keenum at his best. Maybe that 1 year of Case Keenum, Baker Mayfield is him on steroids, which keep in mind, I'm imagining that was lined up with Kevin Stefanski being there, right? I mean, was Kevin Stefanski there?
Yeah.
When Case Keenum took them to the
I would say so.
NFC Championship? I believe so.
Mm-hmm. But they're both similar when it comes to kind of smaller quarterbacks. Try not to make that big mistake.
Need play action pass. I mean, Baker has much, much more arm talent, though. Like, I don't know if you always see Baker unleash it because it seems like it's almost kind of been coached out of him, but he was a gunslinger his rookie year. And, like, if you needed to remember the arm strength, like, look at the end of last week's first half. I mean,
that
Hail Mary went, 70 yards in the air?
With a bum shoulder, too.
I don't know how much the bum shoulder on the left side matters on the right side, but
still,
he wasn't fully healthy.
Yeah,
he's not
100%.
Now, he's probably hopped up on pain pills or a shot, so maybe he was feeling good. But he launched that ball 65, 70 yards in the air, and they said it was the longest completion in the NFL through the air in, like, you know, the last however many years it was. It was one of the all-time great throws through the air.
Yeah.
So I would say Baker is much better than Case. I mean, Case was, I mean, what was he, a 6th, 7th round draft pick, undrafted from Houston coming out of that offense. Baker was the number one overall pick. So, I mean, the pedigree's different, but I understand what you're saying. They're both smaller guys that need play action to really be great. But either way. Sounds like you like the Browns tonight.
No, I like the Broncos. Broncos have to win this game. Oh. Vic Fangio is literally coaching for his job. Like, if you lose this game, you should get fired. Right there on the spot. Just fire him. Fire his ass, Elway. Like, honestly, you cannot lose to the Browns and a backup quarterback with all these injuries. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. The Raiders loss, getting just dominated by that team without their head coach, is bad enough. The Broncos have to. They have to win this game, or else I'm literally getting, like, Vic Fangio has to get fired. He has to.
If they lose tonight?
Yes.
I think so. I think you're right. I think I agree with that. He should have maybe been on the hot seat at the end of last year. They win three games, kick them off of the scent. But no, I think I agree. I don't think they will, but they probably should.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who are the coordinators in Denver right now.
That's a good question, honestly. I'm trying to think of somebody to kind of step in.
I'm just. I didn't know if they had Shermer
over at OC. Old coach for the Giants.
He had experience as a head coach. I don't know if he went well or not, but
no, he was terrible. I mean, he was with the Giants last couple years, right? That was his last head coach before Judge.
Didn't go well for him. Was he the last coach before Judge, or was it? Who was Tom Sula? I thought they had like a big meathead.
They had Ben McAdoo.
Yeah,
yeah.
He won 11 games with them. McAdoo probably deserves some more respect.
Shermer was there. So, yeah, Shermer was there 2018, 2019. Okay. McAdoo was 26, 2017. Yeah, he had that one decent year they had.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I think I agree. This should be a fireable offense losing to this Browns team. Although the Browns still favored over on FanDuel, if you go look. You know, Baker was worth a couple points on the point spread. But, again, Case Keenum is not a terrible backup, and usually a good coach can coach around his lack of quarterback for at least a couple of games. Now, if you know Case Keenum starting the rest of the year, throw the Browns in the garbage. I'm not saying that, but like one game, you can usually put together a game plan. We see it all the time. You know, Andy Reid beat the Packers with Matt Moore when Mahomes was out a couple. Was it last year, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You saw the Steelers try to piece it together with Duck Hodges for a while. They're able to be competitive and win a game or two, but you just can't do it for a long term. I'm not saying that the Broncos should fire Fangio just because the Browns are so embarrassing. I would say because they lost four in a row and they need this game. I do think the Browns probably should still win.
Really?
At home. I mean, like, that's a tough thing to ask Denver to travel on short rest. Like, it's in Cleveland, right? I mean,
yeah, it is.
That's tough to ask them to go on the road in a short rest, and their quarterback is banged up himself. Now, obviously, if Drew Lock plays, I would take the Browns. Maybe Bridgewater can go there and win, but they just have been so bad the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no offense whatsoever. And at least the Browns' defense still mostly healthy. For the Browns, like, do you see the reports that Baker's basically just going to be like in an unbelievable amount of pain, like all season, like going to not do surgery, so he's just going to be pretty much dealing with this all year. Like, no shot the Browns can be like successful down the stretch. Like, he can't just hand the ball off every play in December.
I mean, they say if it gets worse, he'll be done.
Which wouldn't that? I mean, he's a hit away. And by the way, the reason he kind of re-injured it against the Cardinals was because he was tackling somebody after he threw an interception. He's throwing his shoulder into somebody.
Yeah.
Baker, like, say what you want about Baker Mayfield. He's just wired a little bit differently. He's got that competitive edge. He's going to go hard pretty much every single play, whatever. He's high-stepping out there on a three-yard run. He's trying to tackle somebody with his shoulder pads on interception. Like, I just feel like there's just no way he's going to make it the whole season healthy. There's no way. I would not. I'd imagine really halfway through the season here in a couple of weeks, I could see him getting be done for the year.
If he's done for the year, then they're done for. But like this, I applaud Baker for saying he's not done.
Do you? I applaud that. You don't?
I mean, that's tough.
That's cool. Yeah, toughness, whatever. But don't be all, ooh, me in a sling after the game. Look at me.
That's fine. I didn't see the sling after the game, but I'm not going to question him putting off surgery and trying to go out there and play with what's the injury again on his shoulder? I mean, like,
torn labrum.
It has to hurt every time he does anything. Like, he's practicing. I'm not going to compare the two, but it reminds you a little bit. Like my guy Steve McNair, like he played through stuff all the time and didn't have surgery, put it off. If you're a Browns fan and you have any amount of success this year, it's going to raise Baker Mayfield's status. Like it takes pressure off him to have a great season individually, but like he's going to earn all of the respect. He's going to earn the locker room's respect, and he'll probably guilt them into a big extension this offseason just because he's being a leader. I do think Baker Mayfield is learning to be a good leader. I think he's always kind of had it in him, but he's had some missteps. You know, I was really bad whenever he was talking about Duke Johnson's money in front of everybody. That was something he shouldn't have done in front of his teammates. Yeah. I didn't like that at all. But this other stuff is kind of leading by example. And as a quarterback, that's what you're supposed to do. And as teammates, I would imagine they're rallying for him significantly. We'll get Jordan DeJani on with us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. I do love this quote that's just coming across the board. We're talking, you know, NFL football, but Evan Russell, you know, returning super senior for the baseball team. Says any of the fans that were a little too rowdy at Neyland on Saturday, make your way to Lindsey Nelson Stadium. You're welcome here. All right.
Hey.
Go throw bottles at Lindsey Nelson, and Evan Russell has given you the okay.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Tony Vitello did love that, though.
You think so?
I bet he was eating it up, man. He was on the spill with a Beat Freshwater shirt on. Like, he's living life.
Beat Freshwater.
Let's go. Let's get Jordan DeJani of CBS Sports coming up after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get my dear friend Jordan DeJani, hardest working man in Nashville. See you all over the place, Jordan. Just radioing it up everywhere you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Appreciate the kind words. It's a fun gig for sure. Definitely a little tired, but the NFL season rolls on. I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah. How excited are you for tonight? Browns, Case Keenum, Broncos, and injured Teddy Bridgewater. I can feel the excitement.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think I'm leaning towards the Broncos at plus money in this matchup. I don't want to overestimate, you know, how big the position of quarterback is in this matchup. I mean, Case Keenum is a fine backup, but he's facing Teddy Bridgewater, who, you know, has definitely declined over the past couple of weeks, but he still is a starting quarterback, and this Broncos team is a little bit more healthy than his Browns team. So maybe you do a same-game parlay, take the Broncos on the money line, throw in Teddy Bridgewater to throw one touchdown pass, get you up to plus 115 or something like that. I mean, it's an important game when it comes to the Browns, you know, prospects when it comes to the postseason. This is a point in time where the Broncos maybe can get back on right track. So, you know, I'm going to watch. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about this game.
Let's go back to last week before we fully immerse ourselves into week 7. We'll start at Monday night. Big game, national TV. The Titans beat the Buffalo Bills. I believe you were up in the press box. I was down in the stands. What was your biggest takeaway from the Titans shocking the world and beating the mighty, unbeatable Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, so when we talked to the players after the game, and Mike Vrabel included, it seemed like they all used one word to describe themselves, and that was the word resilient. And, you know, watching that game, obviously the Titans' main point of weakness is in the secondary, and having Chris Jackson go down, Caleb Farley go down with a torn ACL. They didn't have Christian Fulton. It seemed like the Titans shouldn't be in that game. And as the game progressed, it seems like, you know, when is Josh Allen going to run away with this? But this defense held their own. And the main statistic I look at is that the Bills went 2 of 5 in the red zone. So when the Titans had their backs up against the wall, that defense was able to come through. Obviously that includes the game winning goal line stand. So, you know, that's really good to see. That's a win that can definitely inject some momentum into your franchise on both sides of the ball. But again, you know, it remains to be seen if this cornerback room of Janoris Jenkins and Breon Borders can hold their own for 60 minutes against the likes of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, another high-powered offense coming into Nissan Stadium this weekend.
Yeah. The injuries keep piling up for the Titans. You can't feel too bad for the Titans when you see their division rival Colts go through kind of the same thing. So I'm not going to, you know, feel sorry for Tennessee because everyone has to deal with it. But, you know, Monday was a great win. Do you take it as the Titans saying they can beat anyone in the league? They can be among the elite? Or was it more about maybe Buffalo was thriving and feasting off of a weak early season schedule when you actually look at it?
No, I think it's more of the former. I think the Titans, you know, coming into this year, they were considered to be a team in the AFC that was expected to be a contender in that conference. And, you know, they've had a lot of ups and downs through the early stages of the regular season, but maybe this is a victory that can kind of get them back on track if we're ignoring the injuries for a second. I think that's what it was more about. I thought it was interesting that the Bills, you know, they had the number one defense in the league and they didn't really look like it. I don't take that as the Buffalo Bills defense was overrated. I kind of look around the league and I don't see a defense that I absolutely love. I don't see a defense that's taking over games. So that was kind of my main takeaway with Buffalo. I mean, they still are a contender in the AFC, but I thought that that game was more about the Titans and their resiliency and them showing that they still are one of the better teams in the conference.
Any chance that we're talking next Thursday and Derrick Henry has worked his way into top five of MVP consideration? He's right now number 10th in the odds. If he feasts on a Kansas City defense that's been really, 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 really bad against the run, is there any chance with the Titans win, Derrick Henry could be top five?
Yeah, we could talk about top five. I don't think that'd be too crazy. But, you know, I think more people are more interested in being top three or, you know, being a favorite to win the MVP. And at the position of running back, you know, I just don't see that coming to fruition, even though I think it absolutely should. He's on a historical pace. I mean, he's going to surpass Eric Dickerson's record if he keeps up this pace. He could score 28 rushing touchdowns when it's all said and done if he remains healthy. He's just on an absolute heater right now. It's unbelievable. But I don't know. The NFL is just a quarterback-driven league, and people are more obsessed with quarterbacks, and especially when it comes to this MVP award. I think Derrick Henry should 100% be in the top five. I think he should be a top three candidate right now. So, you know, if he goes off again against the Chiefs, you know, he's going to get more national attention. We're going to continue to talk about him. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he was in that top five, but I'd like to see him, you know, be higher, maybe top three, top two.
The current leaders right now in Super Bowl odds, Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. How about them Cowboys? If I give you those two or the field when we're all said and done, who you taking for MVP?
For MVP, I'll take the field. You know, I'm looking at some prospects. You know, maybe Lamar Jackson is somebody who I consider placing money on right now. You know, he's someone who we've seen evolve as a passer, and he's obviously a dynamic dual threat weapon. He has this Ravens team rolling right now, and you know, the defense has been better than we anticipated. You obviously have to be on a good team, so Lamar Jackson has that. I think he has a good chance to win his second MVP. You know, Josh Allen's going to be right in that mix. I understand why Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott are up there, but at this point in the season, we're not even halfway through. I think I'm going to lean towards the field.
Okay. Draven, you got any Cowboys questions? Any questions you want to ask Jordan?
What's up, Draven? What's going on, man?
I mean, we could talk a little bit more about the Cowboys.
I didn't know if you had anything.
We could talk a little bit more about the Cowboys.
I was going to bring you in, give you a chance.
You know what? Let's talk about those Cowboys a little bit more, Jordan. Why not? I'm sitting here repping a Cowboys shirt. All about it. What do we think about them? Is this a legit contender? Do we think this defense, Trevon Diggs, can they hold up enough in an NFC that's pretty stacked, pretty loaded? Where do they stack up against the other teams? The Packers who are on the top, the Buccaneers. We talked about the Cardinals, talked about the Rams. Where do they stack up against all these teams?
Yeah, they're definitely an elite NFC team. I have to give you that. They're at 5-1. But in terms of them being a candidate, in my mind, to hoist the Lombardi when it's all said and done, I'm still holding out a little bit right now. This Cowboys team obviously has one of the best offenses in the league and improved defense. And one of the biggest storylines, I think, from the NFL just in general is the emergence of Trevon Diggs. I think he's a number one cornerback. He's a rising star in this league. But, you know, not to rain on your parade, but there's probably a couple other NFC teams that I'm higher on. You know, I really like the Los Angeles Rams, another 5-1 team. I think that their best football is coming down the road. They've had some inconsistencies on defense. I would anticipate that gets better. Matthew Stafford's brought some consistency to the offensive side of the ball. We've seen the emergence of his wide receivers as well. Keep an eye on them. I think that we're going to be talking more about them as we progress through the regular season. Another team that I think you just have to throw in there is probably the Green Bay Packers. They have experience in the postseason, coming off of two straight years where they made it to the conference championship. And finally, I want to bring up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. I wasn't necessarily sold on this team coming into this year. I thought that they could have somewhat of a Super Bowl hangover. Yes, Tom Brady's really good, but you need a lot of things to go right when it comes to winning at all. And I really like what I'm seeing out of this offense. Not only the emergence of Leonard Fournette as a legitimate starting running back, but I think Tom Brady's getting the balls into his playmakers' hands quicker than he did last year. I mean, he's getting more out of these playmakers as well. So keep an eye on the Buccaneers. But, yeah, the Cowboys are definitely up there in the top four when it comes to NFC contenders.
Just one more thing on Trayvon Diggs. You talked about him being a number one corner. The numbers say he's on pace to give up the most yards in NFL history for a cornerback. Do you just live with it because of the interceptions? Are the interceptions sustainable? Because it's not like what we usually see with number one cornerbacks. Usually, you know, you don't throw at Darrell Revis. You don't chest those guys. Teams have done the opposite. They've been seeking out and testing Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, I mean, what is he, a second-year guy? He's only 24 years old.
Sure.
So, I mean, when you try to target those young guys, and I think it's part of the process of just cornerbacks evolving into those number one guys is that you're going to be tested. Like, being battle-tested is part of the role that Trayvon Diggs is eventually going to play on this defense. And, yeah, he's definitely lit up some big plays where he looks silly in the secondary off of double moves. There's no doubt about that, but in my mind, I think cornerback is one of the toughest positions in the game of football. And, you know, just the way he finds himself around the ball and the way he's able to convert on those turnovers, that's a skill in itself. It's not always luck. And I think that Trayvon Diggs kind of has that X factor. So, you know, you definitely have a point when it comes to Trayvon Diggs has not been Darrell Revis. He's not been a guy you try to avoid. He's not been Patrick Surtain at Alabama or anything like that. But he's a guy who's going to continue to evolve into a legitimate star in my mind. That's what I see on the film.
All right. How'd you do last week in your top five picks?
Yeah, we didn't do too hot. I gave you two picks. I picked the wrong lock to give you. I gave you, instead of Chiefs over Washington, I said I'll make my official pick the Broncos over the Raiders, which was a horrible miscalculation. I'm totally out on the Broncos right now. They're so disappointing, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The secondary looks absolutely lost. And the Raiders, you know, they were able to rally around together and ball out, and that was something I didn't anticipate. So, you know, if I had to pick a lock this week, I'm leaning towards New England. New England's had a rematch against the Jets. We saw what they did. I think they won by like 19 points in week two. Zach Wilson threw four interceptions. This game's in Foxborough, but I don't know how much that really matters because I think the Patriots are 0-4 at home this season. But obviously, I think that's going to change with a lesser opponent coming to town. Rookie starting quarterbacks are 6-27 against the Patriots since Bill Belichick took over in 2000, and 0-16 against them on the road in Foxborough during that span. I got to be honest, I can't make heads or tails of this Patriots team when it comes to trying to identify what their potential ceiling is going to be. But I do think that they are better than the Jets. I think Mac Jones is gaining confidence week in, week out. And I like this defense against the rookie quarterback as well. I'm going to go ahead and lay 7 on the Patriots in Foxborough to defeat the Jets.
All right. You heard it there. You can read more of it on CBSSports.com. Jordan DeGianni joins us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines every Thursday, recapping, mostly previewing the upcoming week in the NFL. I guess we're going to do a lot of previewing this week because I actually think, Jordan, this is the worst week of the NFL I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yep. No doubt.
Titans going to beat the Chiefs or no?
What I'm doing is I'm gonna place money on them to cover the points, sprinkle a bit on the money line. I actually just published a preview for that game on CBSSports.com, and in the conclusion of it, I wrote something, you know, that when the Titans defeated Patrick Mahomes in Nashville, when they were down by double digits and blocked that field goal, like that game is still fresh in my mind. But maybe this time around, Harrison Butker's kick goes through the uprights. Maybe they have a game-winning field goal. So I'll take the 5.5 points at least.
Man, what a preview of what was to come that game was. Just Tannehill going right down the field in a minute to score the game-winning touchdown, leads the NFL in fourth-quarter comebacks and game-winning drive since then. Jordan DeGianni, follow him on Twitter, DAJANI. One of a great NFL follow. Check out his work on CBS Sports. Appreciate you, brother. I'll be in Nashville Saturday if you want to get together.
All right, let's do it, man. Thanks again for having me on.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week. Jordan DeGianni joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help get you the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Back on the program. Man, when you actually look at the NFL schedules this weekend, not very good. Not very good.
Especially the primetime games are kind of just brutal. What do we got? Monday night, Seahawks, Saints, Geno Smith, and that one.
Bad break for the Seahawks.
Back-to-back primetime games with backup quarterback.
Really bad break for the TV partners.
Right.
I don't know how much Russell Wilson affects ratings and how much people want to watch him.
A lot more than Geno, I would say.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I just don't know if people are like rushing to the TV to watch Russell Wilson. If he has the Peyton Manning effect or even a fraction of it, I guess is what I'm getting at. Yeah. I will say the Seahawks over time, pretty much every primetime game they're on seems to go down to the wire.
Especially those Monday nights. Can't forget the fail Mary.
They do all the dumb things for three quarters, and then Russell comes and tries to bail him out at the end. Like, you know, think back 2 years ago whenever he tried to take him down the field to beat the 49ers and got stopped on the goal line. They play good games, you know, last week. Even with Geno, I guess it was a close, stupid game, but went into overtime. But, yeah, Saints-Seahawks ain't good. I mean, Colts 49ers, do we know who's playing there? Is Jimmy G back? Is Trey Lance playing? Do we know? Because that seems like a really pivotal game for both teams. If the Colts win, I will say the Colts have kind of weathered the storm of their bad start. If the Colts win in San Francisco and they're 3-4, I will say they probably feel pretty good about themselves, considering the schedule at the beginning of the year, just when you looked in their first five games. Again, keep in mind on paper, too, by the way. Seahawks, Rams, at Titans, at Dolphins, at Ravens. Yeah, the Dolphins stink this year, but on paper, those were five tough games before the year.
Right.
And I would imagine if you told them you can be 3-4 after seven, they probably wouldn't have been happy about it, but they probably would have said, you know what, go ahead and lock it in.
Boy, they got to be a little bit like, damn, especially with the Ravens game.
Sure.
I mean, that collapse they had, so they feel like they maybe could have got another one, but you're
right. Probably feel like they could have won that Rams game, too, if Wentz doesn't get hurt, and Wentz has played pretty good the last 3 weeks, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves. If they win this game, honestly, they could start thinking about the division, obviously, but you could look and say, like, you know, we can still put ourselves in somewhat of a position to be a wild card team. If not, we can get to 9 wins.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not good enough to catch the Titans. If the Titans, you know, who have a bottom five schedule, are able to keep winning, but we can put ourselves into the conversation at least. We can survive the start, and we're not looking at being in the top five. Draft picks.
Does look like Garoppolo's been practicing this week, but nothing set in stone. By the way, Trey Lance is hurt too, so they're both quarterbacks are hurt. Trey Lance looks like hasn't really practiced much this week.
Do you think if they could do it again, they would do it the same way? San Francisco,
what, just
trade picks to get Trey Lance? You think they would still do that? I mean, I know it's only been what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, but do you think they've seen anything from Trey Lance right now that says special? Because like I said when we talked about Tua, you can see it from the get-go with some of these guys. Like, very rarely does someone catch you by surprise and you're like, oh, wait, I didn't see them being able to morph into this. Like, even with Josh Allen, you know, okay, arm strength, boom, he's going to have a chance. Now, the accuracy got better than any of us ever thought. Has Lance, you think, gave them any flashes of that? Because, I mean, he's got the arm strength, too, but most of his best moments have come in the preseason, right? Or the training camp when he's doing it against his own team.
Yeah, he was pretty disappointing against Cardinals. Missed some throws, threw a pick. I don't know. They're also pretty conservative with him. They haven't really opened up the playbook, which is kind of problematic. But I'd look and say, yeah, I probably would wish they'd draft a corner when they have Josh Norman as their best corner running around right now. Maybe I'd wish they drafted J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. Maybe a little bit too high right there, but
well,
still.
They obviously show they didn't care to trade up, right? I mean, they traded up to go and get Trey Lance, which makes this even worse. They gave up two first-round picks on top of it.
Yeah, really? Guy just doesn't look ready. He doesn't. Maybe he'll be good in a year or two. But
to me, I don't know how I felt about it at the time, but it seems like this team needs help, like you said, when you're having to rely on Josh Norman as a corner. Seems like you probably needed help with the rest of your roster, that maybe you should have just kept those picks and tried to roll out Jimmy G, since you're already pretty much rolling him out anyways. This team does feel like it's built towards winning now, right? When you look at their best skill player.
Well, hell, they were the favorite on FanDuel to win the damn division. Everybody was kind of etching them in as a division winner in that toughest division in football.
And I don't really know how different their season would look right now if Jimmy Garoppolo didn't get hurt. So I don't know if I'm giving them much of an excuse. Like, would they have beaten that Cardinals team? Maybe. Could they have beaten that Seattle team? Maybe. But it wasn't like they were pounding Seattle. They were down 14-7 when Jimmy G got hurt.
Couldn't really do anything offensively.
against a pretty bad defense. Now, maybe
they could have done a little bit more against Arizona.
I think they
maybe
could have beaten Arizona.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Arizona plays the same game. Maybe they had a different game plan because they're like, this guy's not going to score on us, so we don't have to go fast-paced and try to score 30 points. So you can never just pencil somebody in like that. I don't know if it would have gone different or not. Maybe one of the two. Maybe they'd be 3-3. Or I guess 3-2. They've already had their bye week.
Does feel like the loser of this game. Almost put a fork in them just a little bit. 2-4, 2-5.
If the Colts lose on Sunday night, I won't say to put a fork in them. They'll be 2-5. I will say that they are on life support whenever they play the Titans next week.
Oh, wow, yeah.
They'd have to beat the Titans at home on Halloween. Like, if they lose that game and they're 2-6 and they're 0-2 against the team they're chasing in the division, I would say you could go ahead and put a bow on them in that. Especially when you look, they still have to play at Buffalo and at Arizona. Those are the and home for Tampa Bay, so three of the top five teams. And if you already have six losses after that, you'd be done for.
Yeah.
So like the Sunday night game doesn't have, you know, great teams, but I will say the stakes at least feel kind of important. Did you see the Titans Chiefs? I think 80% of the country is getting that.
Oh,
go
really?
To hell. You talked
oh,
about
really?
Your no
about
national
that?
No national games. We're getting the national CBS 1 o'clock slot, okay?
Oh, the 1 o'clock slot. There's literally...
Well, it's a four.
Yeah, so. Sorry. You beat out the Patriots and the Jets. Congratulations on that one.
They're giving Bears Bucks the national slot at 4 o'clock. That seems dumb.
Man, it's disgusting. On CBS, too, which is kind of weird.
Saying, like,
yeah, there's two NFC teams on CBS.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize. I was thinking of Tampa as an AFC team for some reason. But, yeah, two NFC teams on CBS. That seems weird. What's going on Fox? Is there something going on Fox on Sunday?
Baseball?
Might be baseball.
Maybe baseball?
Baseball would be the only thing.
Yeah, I would imagine they didn't want to. I would imagine they didn't want a 4 o'clock game that maybe could spill into the 8 o'clock game, though.
Yeah, probably.
Probably
yeah.
Under the coverage, since and that'd be the World Series, right? That could theoretically be the game one of the World Series on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Or game 7 for Dodgers-Braves, which I don't know if that would be on Fox or not. But
it's been on TBS. So,
that's what I'm saying about them. That's because like the Red Sox and Astros have kind of been on Fox, right? Fox Sports 1, I think.
Probably. Yeah, it's been
on
FS1,
weekends,
right,
they've been on Fox.
Yeah.
Is the World Series on Fox this year? Maybe, because like I said, Game 1 could be on
could
Sunday.
Be. I think you're right.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off Hour 3 with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.